Let's get into our sermon. You know, if you were just passing by and you hadn't had an angel talk to you, you probably wouldn't have thought much about this scene here. In fact, maybe a middle to upper class Bethlehem resident, assuming that there were some people that qualified, fit that description, that might have thought, wow, just more poor people bringing a poor child into Israel. Imagine, giving birth in a stable. There would have been little indication that that poor child was going to change the world. We are winding our way towards another Christmas day, and as we do so, we've been focusing in on that baby and all that he would bring to humanity. So far in my Advent sermon series for this year, we've taken a Sunday simply to celebrate the gospel, the message of salvation made possible that the grown Jesus would declare. And then last Sunday morning, we took a look at a more specific part of the good message of Jesus. We noted that he came to heal relationships, to heal the broken relationship between God and humanity, and also to encourage healed relationships in all kinds of person-to-person scenarios. Gentiles and Jews, people of differing nations and cultures and classes, relationships within our families. Jesus also taught us to forgive and to ask for forgiveness, to seek reconciliation when things go wrong. And in all of these things, Jesus brought astounding new levels of peace on earth. But he didn't stop there. It's time now to go back to the movies. And we're going to watch a couple clips here in order to, and then grab the sense of my next topic for our Advent 2021 discussion. I've got about four-minute sections to watch from two movies now, and let's just do that. Watch with me.
I must dress myself. So much to do. I don't want to lose any time. I was light. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. Merry Christmas to everybody, and a happy new year to the world!
Good morning, gentlemen. Oh, gentlemen, good morning, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you.
Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, that is my name. I fear it is not pleasant to you. Allow me to beg your pardons, and please accept my pledge to the poor and needy for...
Lord bless me.
My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you quite serious?
If you please, and not a farthing less. There are a great many back payments included in that, I assure you.
What can I say to such generosity?
Don't say anything.
My dear sir,
will you come and see me?
We will. Oh, we will indeed.
I'm very much obliged. Thank you. 50 times.
Thank you. Bless you, sir.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Late again, eh, Cratchit? You'll see about this.
Mr. Cratchit!
Here, sir.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes, sir.
What time is it?
18 minutes past the hour, sir.
18 and a half minutes past the hour. What do you mean, coming here this time of day?
I'm sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you will, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not going to stand for this any longer. Therefore, I am going to double your salary.
Double my salary, sir?
Yes, Bob. A Merry Christmas to you. I'll double your salary for a start, and I'll endeavor to assist your family in any way I can. And Tim will walk again and grow stronger and stronger upon my life, he will. Well, we'll discuss the particulars this afternoon over a Christmas bowl. What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir. Well, it's just that... Nothing. Thank you, sir.
My good fellow. Make up the fire before we freeze to death. Buy some more coal before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
There's movie number one, and then with equal profundity, our next movie.
They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And then, the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches, plus two. And now that his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. With a smile in his soul, he descended Mount Crumpet, cheerily blowing hoo-hoo on his trumpet. He rode into Whoville, he brought back their toys, he brought back their floof to the Who girls and boys. He brought back their snoof and their tringlers and fuzzles, brought back their pantookas, their dafflers and wuzzles. He brought everything back, all the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.
All right, there you have it. Couple movies about hearts that were changed there, right? Transformation. Well, the message of Jesus Christ wasn't only about salvation and about the healing of relationships. He didn't teach us to mend all of our broken relationships and then just go back into our living rooms and, you know, live and let live. Everything's okay now, so see you later. No, there's more to it than that. We're not supposed to stop at having peace in our relationships. Jesus came also to teach us to actively care about the other person's situation and to give where there is need. He came to transform those who would listen from being self-focused to being others-focused. And yeah, we saw some selfishness turn into selflessness in those two movie sections. Ebenezer Scrooge had this awakening overnight on Christmas Eve. He'd been shown that he'd been shown the fruit of living as the extreme, selfish, cranky, miserly man he had been. And given a second chance, he began to notice people and to care about people. And he finally began to use his resources to help others to see and meet needs. And that it brought a freedom and a joy to his life, right? The Grinch, too, on realizing that maybe Christmas meant a little bit more, suddenly found, it would seem for the first time, care for others. He went from being a self-focused bad banana with a greasy black peel into being someone who was a giver. And all of that is in line with the values that Jesus taught. We know, of course, that he taught us to focus on others. The two most important commandments, according to Christ, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So that there's an other we're supposed to be focusing on, God. That's the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Two chapters earlier in Matthew, Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus taught a reorientation from being self-focused into being others-focused, and to Jesus that meant serving. It also meant giving. How many times in Scripture do we see Jesus saying, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and we wrestle a little bit with how literally we're supposed to take that passage. But one thing we don't have to wrestle with is the point, taking away the point from his comments that we're supposed to be givers, right? And there are other sayings from Christ on this as well. Luke 6:30, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. And then Matthew 10:8, you received from God without paying, so give without expecting pay. And speaking of himself in the future, Jesus said that the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Giving to others was a regularly repeated theme in Jesus' teaching. So yeah, our master didn't teach us to mend our broken relationships and then just go hide in our living rooms. Live and let live. No, we're to actively care about the other person's situation and give where there's need. This was not a passive command from him. It's an active command. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Go and do. Initiate. So the Grinch observed that the Whos didn't celebrate Christmas only for presents and decorations, and that for them it was about something more, and that resonated within him. Apparently, deep down in his Grinchy heart, he was looking for something deeper, something more meaningful than just another party. Well, the movies will tell you that you can find that something deeper that we're all longing for in the Christmas spirit. Yeah? The Grinch, the Scrooge, and Mr. Scrooge, they got the Christmas spirit, right? And if you catch and keep the Christmas spirit, it will transform you like it will transform them. That's the message of the movies. Well, exactly what is the Christmas spirit? Let's look at what some have said in response to that question. Thomas S. Monson wrote that Christmas is the spirit of giving without a thought of getting. It is forgetting self and finding time for others. George Matthew Adams said that the Christmas heart is a giving heart, a wide open heart that thinks of others first. Peg Bracken writes, gifts of time and love are surely the basic ingredients of a truly Merry Christmas. And Bob Hope once said, my idea of Christmas, whether old-fashioned or modern, is very simple. Loving others. Man, sounds like all those people have been listening to Jesus. Others focused, love, give, and serve. The Christmas spirit that popular culture points us to is nothing less than the teachings of Jesus without the teacher, right? The secularist has taken the teachings of Christ and made Christmas about that while removing the teacher from the equation. Man. Now those values, love for others and giving rather than receiving, they can be motivating on their own, and we can, learn how to better live, have our eyes open to that through learning those values. But let me ask you this question. What do you think motivates the human heart more? Dedication to a moral code, a way of living life, or dedication to a personal God, a being who created you, who loves you, who has come to save you, and who, by the way, also teaches that moral, that wonderful moral code? Which of those two things would better inspire lifelong motivation and change? Adopting the values of giving and love for others can be powerful, no question, but I think that there's still something empty about living a life dedicated to a list of behaviors, right? Maybe that still leaves us empty and wanting more, still leaves us looking for that something deeper. The Bible, of course, teaches correctly, I believe, that true transformation comes from a relationship with Jesus. Jesus told us in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit would be given to his followers. He said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ's followers will be changed. And when you come to Jesus, Paul says, you'll put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That developing righteousness and holiness doesn't happen all at once. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, we're being transformed into God's image from one degree of glory to another, step by step. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Jesus didn't come to transform us by giving us a moral code to live by. Jesus came to transform us by getting us back into relationship with God. Relationship with the good and life-giving God and all that comes with it, that is the something deeper that we're all missing. And we're all desiring if we don't have that. He is the one who is closer than a brother. He's the one who leads us into good, healthy relationships with people. He's the one who teaches that moral code to live by that is so good and is so motivating and life-changing. He's the one who confirms our suspicions that goodness and meaning in the world must be the ultimate reality. And he also is the only one who can take all of that and make it eternal for us, giving us hope after death. If we cooperate with where Jesus wants to lead us, and if we listen to the Holy Spirit he puts within us, he will make us a totally new creation over time. So the Christmas movies, they get us close to the right answer. They do a pretty good job of showing that the teachings of Jesus are really great. But they miss the most important part. Capturing the Christmas spirit and displaying good behavior on the earth, it might give you renewed inspiration, it might help you accomplish some good fruit in your life, but it doesn't get you rightly connected with God, and it doesn't get you to heaven. I think also that it ultimately still leaves you empty, longing for more. Only Jesus can fulfill what you're longing for. It's dedication to the teacher, not just to the teaching, that we need. All right, well, one last movie clip for you now. I want to show you, and let me explain it first. As I was searching a few weeks ago for good Christmas movie clips to show during my Advent sermons, a website that listed out good Christmas movie scenes led me to this last video, and it is a great scene. However, I need to tell you that after I watched that, I started looking further into the movie to understand what was going on in the scene, and I quickly found out this is not a terribly moral movie. It's a Bill Murray modern take on the Christmas Carol story, and I'm not recommending that you watch that. In fact, I'd probably recommend that you don't, at least from the portions that I saw. I was going to drop it all together from the sermon, but in the end, I decided that the scene I initially watched was so strong and fits so well in with my sermon here that I'm going to show it to you anyway. So yeah, normally I wouldn't dignify a immoral movie by showing any part of it in church, but I think there's reason to here, and there's nothing immoral in this clip I'm going to show you, so hopefully you're all okay with that as well. So Bill Murray in this movie plays a TV executive who is, in a word, a jerk. His company is broadcasting a live production of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve, but in the process of getting that show ready, Bill Murray's character has the same experience as Scrooge had. He's visited by three ghosts, and they end up shocking him into a new way of looking at life. And so just as we open my sermon today by watching an overly emotional Scrooge celebrate his second chance at life and his renewed outlook, we're going to now watch another Scrooge-type character also showing the big emotions that have come from this very emotional experience he just had. And even though he'll be talking about the Christmas spirit in the scene rather than Jesus, I think Bill Murray does a pretty good job showing the thirst in this man's soul, the character he's playing. And I would guess that Mr. Murray could do that because that thirst for something deeper also exists within him. Let's take a look here.
That happened because it's Christmas Eve, I'm telling you! I'm not crazy. It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We share a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be. It's a miracle. It's really a sort of a miracle because it happens every Christmas Eve. You have to do something. You have to take a chance. You do have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen. There are people that don't have enough to eat. There are people that are cold. You can go out and say hello to these people. You can take an old blanket out of the closet and say, here. You can make them a sandwich and say, oh, by the way, here. I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, the miracle will happen, and then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. It can happen every day. You've just got to want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it. It's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time. I'm ready. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Did I forget something, big man?
God bless us, everyone.
So yeah, I don't know about a moral code, but I do know a person who can make that kind of change in our lives. Jesus can make that kind of change in you. Jesus can transform you, make you into, as Bill Murray's character said there, the person you always hoped you would be. And you know, this isn't just for new believers. Have you been drifting from God? Have you been feeling disconnected? What can you do to change that? What do you need to do to get totally connected again? Jesus can get you back to that place where you might say, also like in the movie clip there, that you feel better than you have in a long, long time. He can bring those places within you alive again. So, what's preventing you from that? From diving full force into Him again? What's blocking you from God? Get rid of it. Attack it. Figure out what it is. Take steps to eliminate it or work through it or heal from it. What can you do? Let's not let anything keep us from attaching strongly to Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I think it would be really interesting if we could see clips from a movie called Grinch 20 years later or Scrooge 20 years later. It'd be so interesting to see just how far a dedication to Christmas spirit would continue to inspire those two individuals. My guess is that it would carry them for a while, but that eventually they'd find that that gaping hole within their souls was still there. And they'd be back searching. Searching for something that only the God who originally taught the Christmas spirit values can provide. So let's not go that Christmas spirit path committed to the teaching but not the teacher. Let's do it right the first time and connect directly with Christ. Let's throw ourselves fully into that relationship and let Him transform our hearts and our lives. 2,000 years ago, a poor couple brought another poor child into Israel, born in an animal stable. That baby grew up and he changed the world. He continues to transform lives and hearts today.